Hey, welcome to the Holistic Beauty Podcast. We are licensed naturopathic doctors practicing in sunny California, and we are changing how skincare is looked at. We want you to understand that skin health is a manifestation of balance from within. So each week, we'll be bringing you tidbits to complete your skincare routine from the inside out and the outside in. So let's get into it.
Hey guys, even though we are doctors, we're not your doctor. So we want you to know that this podcast and the information on here is not medical advice. It is not meant to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure any conditions or disease, and it's only meant for education, okay? So always speak to your doctor or licensed healthcare provider before starting anything new.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, everybody. It is 2023. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like, What happened in 2022?
It flew by. That's what happened.
Well, I'm really excited for this episode. It's a new year. It's new us, new episode.
New us, new episode. There you go.
But I'm really excited for this episode. The topic is, what is it, my friend?
We're going to focus on building a general skincare routine naturopathically.
This is why you listen to us.
Yeah. So we're going to go over diet, lifestyle, supplements, skincare products, all that fun stuff.
This is like a really great episode just because it's January, you know, like this is a good start to like really start building skin health externally and internally. So in today's episode, we're going to be basically speaking about what a naturopathic doctor does, just in case if you guys didn't know. And we're also going to be talking about skincare products, diet and lifestyle, and some supplements. It's going to be a really, really fun episode. But diving into it, let's talk about building a skincare naturopathically.
Yay, so fun. Okay, but first, like, how does a naturopathic doctor see skin health?
Oh, this is what we should have talked about from the get-go, right? So first of all, for people who don't know what a naturopathic doctor is, we are licensed medical providers trained in both holistic and integrative medicine. We both went through 4 years of naturopathic medical training at accredited medical schools, and we both had to pass 2 licensure exams. How were those licensure exams for you, by the way? Weren't fun.
They were hard.
They're never fun. But yeah, we needed to pass both licensure exams in order to get our medical license and to practice naturopathic medicine. Now, how does a naturopathic doctor see skin health? Skin health from a naturopathic point of view is two-pronged, honestly. The skin interacts with both the inner and outer world. So general skin health is all about looking at inner health and the outside environment and thinking about science-based methods to really support skin resiliency as best as we can. So when looking at skin health from within, we see that skin health is a reflection of inner health, and true skin health or skincare starts from within and with how we nourish it. And then when looking at the outer environment, it's what we really put on our skin to directly nourish it and protect its resiliency. But, you know, it's all about what our environment looks like as well. So it's really like changing up like our skincare routine, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then with like the inner health, there's like genetics, you know, but also like the medications and supplements we put in our body, which I'm really excited to talk about this new year, because we're going to be doing like a acne episode about like acne supplements and stuff. Yes. So that's going to be really, really fun. But then there's also like mental health and stress response. We've spoken about this in past episodes in regards to like different skin issues, but we're going to talk about it again today. And there's also like nutrient status and so much more. But yeah, there's so many things when looking at skin health from within. But before we like dive into like inner health, we should talk about like foundational skincare products, right? Because that's the fun part.
Yeah. Okay. So from a naturopathic point of view, we can't control the environment like 100%, but there are things that we can do and be more conscious about, especially when it comes to what we put on our skin that's going to help support general skin resiliency to those environmental changes. So when we're building a foundational skincare routine, skin barrier support is essential because skin barrier dysfunction has been linked to dry skin, acne, eczema, rashes, and so many other skin issues.
Girl, we love the skin barrier here.
We do.
We talk about it so many times, but it's so important.
It is. I mean, I can't even imagine like not focusing on repairing that skin barrier.
I know, right? It's just like the outermost protective layer. We really need to support it.
Yeah. And if you don't know what the skin barrier is, it's basically the skin's first layer of protection, and it's responsible for maintaining skin hydration and moisture. I mean, the skin barrier has the fat barrier, it's called the lipid barrier. We have our skin microbiome. We have the acid mantle, because if you guys don't know, the skin pH is on the acidic side, so it's between 4 to 6. And there's an antioxidant defense system. I mean, there's a lot going on in that skin barrier.
In my head, I'm just like, wait, what are the layers again? We've spoken about this so many times, but it still like doesn't hit in my head.
I know. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
So there's several things that can actually affect the skin barrier, and we can break it up into external causes and internal triggers. So Dr. Bryant, what are some of the external causes?
Yeah. Basically, the external causes are like one on the outside, the things on the outside, right? So it's going to be the skincare products. In regards to skincare products, they can sometimes be like physically irritating to the skin. So it's really looking at skincare compatibility, product pH, also looking at over exfoliation. And we're going to be talking about exfoliants this year. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a fun episode. But there's also like retinoids, you know, and perfumes. And I feel like retinoids kind of like is a really good segue into a topic we're gonna be talking about later in this episode, which is gonna be skin cycling, right?
Yes.
And then there's also like frequent hand washing. So that's another external cause that could disrupt the skin barrier. But then, you know, in our environment, there's also the sunlight and UV exposure.
That's like the number one cause of photo aging.
Yeah. And it could really affect the skin barrier as well, you know? And then there's also weather. We can't control the weather. When it's like dry and cold, you know, the skin barrier can be really affected, and it therefore like reduces like these like really hydrating compounds in our skin. And there are also some internal triggers, right, Dr. Marola?
Mm-hmm. Of course, we have genetics or inherited predispositions, food intolerances, and allergies, which we can actually test for these, which is nice. But, you know, there's some allergens that can cause systemic contact dermatitis, for example. And this includes certain spices, food additives, some herbs, balsam of Peru, and seafoods, because the nickel in seafood.
This is actually really interesting. I had a patient case recently, and she was diagnosed with eczema, and her doctors put her on so many creams, also put her on like some intensive, like, you know, the injectables that they use for eczema, and it wouldn't go away. And then she saw me and we found out that she had a nickel allergy, and it went away. Isn't that crazy?
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, it's cool, but really frustrating for the patient, you know, just like, I wish that the doctors did some more intensive testing to really just like make sure she didn't have to put like needles in her body to like treat the eczema. Right.
Yeah. And yeah. We could dive into that in another day.
Exactly.
That's a whole other story.
I know. Right. But going back into internal triggers.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And then obviously the gut skin connection and the gut microbiome. There's actually a small study completed on those who had acne, and it revealed that those who have acne had different gut bacteria profiles compared to those without acne. So it's actually been hypothesized that these acne causing changes to the gut microbiome and the bacteria populations could arise because of bacteria related products that result in the release of inflammatory markers.
Postbiotics, right? Inflammatory postbiotics.
Crazy. So, and then we also know that there is an association between SIBO, or small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, and H. pylori infection in those who are experiencing rosacea, for example. And we know that there's this gut microbiome imbalance with eczema and a gut bacteria imbalance with psoriasis.
So gut health is key. Get that tested, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's also hormones, guys. So some of these hormones can actually be tested for. So these hormones could affect the skin barrier, specifically with thyroid health. So for people with hypothyroidism or low thyroid, they can experience really dry skin, you know, so they can get that tested. They just basically see their doctor, get the appropriate tests. Beyond a thyroid hormone, there's also estrogen. So when people experience estrogen deficiency, it basically could cause like drier skin. So what science says is that estrogen plays a role in maintaining water content, skin thickness. It's really important. I think it's specifically estriol. But yeah, definitely check your estrogen just in case. And then there's also insulin as well. So we do know that insulin can affect skin health in general because it can basically spike acne-causing hormones.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we talked about internal triggers, but then like there's also like just foundational skincare recommendations, right?
Mm-hmm. So pretty much five things you want to consider to help support the skin barrier function is one, patch testing, just to make sure there's no skin irritation from that product. Making sure that the pH of the product you're using is really close to the skin pH, again, between 4 to 6, to help prevent disruption of that microbiome layer. And then being mindful of when you're excessively exfoliating, because this can disrupt the physical barrier. Why are you smiling and looking at me right now?
Because, okay, so I messed up my physical barrier.
Oh no.
I use an exfoliant, and then I put on Trent Noen that same night, and then I slugged.
Why would you do that? You're crazy.
I am crazy. I shouldn't have done that. Looking back, and my skin was like so dry and flaky afterwards. So,
oh my goodness.
Guys, learn from me. Don't over exfoliate.
Oh my gosh. Anyways, and then watch and see if your current skin cleanser or any other of the skin products that you use are making your skin feel too tight. Because remember, squeaky clean, super tight skin is not good.
Yeah, you're basically disrupting your skin barrier.
Mm-hmm. And then last and most importantly, remember to always put that sunscreen on and frequently reapply.
Yes.
I'm going to be honest. I'm really not good at reapplying, and I feel like I need to do some research and find some products that's going to make it easier to reapply.
I like to use sunscreen sticks.
I know. You've told me that, but they're like chemical-based mainly, aren't they?
No, there are mineral-based ones.
There are? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then there's also like SPF powders and makeup.
Yeah, that's what I need to get.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you shouldn't use like SPF makeup as your first sunscreen, mm-hmm. but it's good for reapplication. It's easier for reapplication.
Yeah, because I'm like, especially on days when I put my sunscreen on and then I put my makeup on and then I'm like, ooh, I don't want to put like sunscreen on top of my makeup.
Because it messes it up, right?
Yeah, it's going to like smear everything.
I don't know.
I work so hard to put on. No. Okay. But anyways, so what's like a general skincare routine for skin barrier support?
I think of 4 things, honestly. So the general categories are going to be like a cleanser, and then there's actives, and then there's going to be a moisturizer, and then some sunscreen. So in regards to cleansers, you just want to make sure the cleanser is gentle and doesn't strip your skin. Stripping meaning that it doesn't make it feel too tight. In regards to actives, you want things that pull water into the skin and keep that water in. So humectants are going to be things that pull water into the skin, like hyaluronic acid. Do you like hyaluronic acid, my friend?
Yes.
Yes. And then in regards to keeping that water in from the humectants, it's going to be fatty acids. And that can be commonly found in moisturizers. So some fatty acids to look out for are going to be ceramides, cholesterol, and free fatty acids. And then there's also going to be sunscreen that we spoke about earlier. So there's going to be mineral sunscreen to consider, but there's also chemical sunscreens if you guys are into that as well. Dr. Morella is looking at me like I'm crazy. But yeah, you have different types of sunscreen options. And the important thing is putting on the appropriate amount from the get-go and frequently reapplying afterwards to really support healthy skin. So now that we've talked about foundational skincare, there's also foundational diet to look into and also lifestyle, you know, because these internal things do cause some skin issues, right? And can really affect the skin barrier, but also just like skin health in general. And diet, like what I said, is just these foundational things to really look into. So my friend, naturopathic point of view on diet and skin health, what is it?
Well, from a naturopathic point of view, the topicals that we put on our skin are only as effective as the foundation it sits on. So this means that, you know, we're going to look at diet and lifestyle.
I love it.
So in general, a foundational diet to us looks like one that's rich in a bunch of different things. So we're going to start with dietary antioxidants. So there's a lot of studies supporting the link between nutrition and skin aging, which is really awesome. And we know that fruits and veggies, consuming that, especially a variety of it, it's good for a lot of different things. But when it comes to our skin, it can help support youthful appearing skin. So some of the main antioxidants we want to highlight, for example, is resveratrol. This is a small polyphenol compound. You can find this in red grape skin, nuts, fruits, and red wine.
I love red wine.
Oh,
but I'm trying to cut back.
I'm not a red wine fan.
What are you?
White wine.
But white wine's good
too. I'm not drinking either.
Not drinking either.
Ooh.
I know.
Good job.
Thank you.
Green tea, polyphenols, classic antioxidants, so good for you. Anthocyanins, you can find that in berries, for example. Vitamin C and E.
We love C and E. They regenerate each other, which is really cool. When in the skin.
Yeah.
And in the body.
Very neat.
In the body in general.
Pycnogenol is another example. So we were looking up natural sources of this because I've seen pycnogenol as a supplement.
Yeah, marine pine bark.
Yeah. And I was just like, okay, what's a natural source
of this? Like, how do we get from our food, right? Yeah.
And so this is what we found. Pine trees, peanut skins.
I love eating pine trees and peanut skins. How about you?
Classic. Every night. Grape seeds and green or black tea.
You know, grape seeds and green or black tea are going to be more realistic options. But like, I don't see myself chewing on a pine tree. Do you? See me doing that?
I could see you too. I'm not going to go into the details of how, but never mind. I have an image.
I feel you.
Okay, anyway.
And there's also sulforaphane, which is a really good antioxidant. That's a good one. I love sulforaphane. So sulforaphane is an antioxidant naturally found in brassica vegetables. So some examples of brassica vegetables are going to be like broccoli, mm-hmm. cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, bok choy, right? Bok choy is one.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, they're really rich in brassica vegetables. And what sulforaphane does, this is really cool, guys. What sulforaphane does in the skin is that it basically blocks the activity of collagen eating enzymes. That is so cool to me.
Ooh,
so it's like this anti-aging nutrient found in vegetables. So cool.
We all need to be like upping our intake of the brassica veggies.
I love brassica veggies, but like some people mix them too gassy.
Yeah.
Dot, dot, dot.
No comment.
But it's actually really interesting too, because like there are ways to really hack your brassica vegetable cooking to get more sulforaphane out of it. So like from what I saw in studies, like steaming it, it gives you the most amount of sulforaphane compared to like when eating it raw. Of course, you could get when you eat it raw, you get more sulforaphane, but steaming is going to be the best way to cook it. And the worst way to cook it is going to be boiling them, which is interesting.
The worst way?
The worst way to get sulforaphane out of your food is through boiled brassica vegetables, because it all ends up in your water.
Oh, I don't think I knew that. Okay.
The more you know.
Yeah,
are you boiling your vegetables?
No, I mean, I will like, so what I do, I steam.
Okay.
Or pan fry, but I'm trying to do less pan frying of veggies because, you know, that increases the advanced glycation end products, ages. And now that I've been looking more into skin aging and stuff, I'm like, let's preserve my collagen instead of like, and we'll dive into that in a second. Ages. So that's why I've been opting for like boiling and steaming.
Oh, okay, cool.
But maybe I'm not going to boil anything.
I mean,
in the brassica family.
Yeah, just steam them. And that's carbohydrates. I feel like that's a good segue because you're just talking about ages, right?
Right. And so not just any carbohydrates, specifically like resistant starches.
We love a resistant starch. You guys who don't know what resistant starch is, it's basically any starch that's not digested in the small intestine, but it passes the large bowel. And there's some really cool science saying that resistant starches can help out with post-meal blood sugar levels. And like what we said earlier, in regards to inner imbalances that can affect skin health, blood sugar can play a role. So there's resistant starches are going to be really great. And there's actually some foods that are really high in resistant starches. Like, I don't know if people would want to eat this, but it's like green plantains.
Oh, I do like those.
You like green plantains? I like ripe plantains.
No. So with the green plantains, though, what I do is I fry it up. That's why I like it.
And but then you
I
get your ages.
I fry it in coconut oil.
Okay.
But I could still, you know, that's not something you would eat every day.
I feel you. And there's also like complex carbs that we didn't really touch base on. And they're just basically like, you know, like brown rice, oatmeal, chia seeds, etc. Oh, yeah. That can support like healthy blood sugar levels too.
And a healthy gut.
And a healthy gut. Yeah.
Healthy skin.
And then there's also protein to consider as well, right? So in regards to protein, what studies show is that when you combine low glycemic foods, which are going to be basically like complex carbs, it significantly increases insulin sensitivity. So complex carbs, proteins support insulin sensitivity, which could therefore support hormones and then therefore support skin health, which is really cool.
Great. Okay, so we've talked about carbohydrates. We've talked about proteins. What about fats?
There's some really cool science talking about how omega-3 and omega-6 polyunsaturated fats can be important for healthy skin barrier function. So it can help support healthy inflammatory response, which is really, really cool. And there's some interesting science saying that olive oil can, at least in animal models, it's been shown to be really helpful for like the aging process of the skin, which is really interesting, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the same thing has also been seen with certain types of like omega-3s in fish. So there have been animal models or animal studies done saying that it could basically help out with like UV-induced inflammatory response.
Nice.
Really, really cool. Yeah. So we've spoken about like fatty acids, but then there's like the gut. We keep on speaking about the gut. Oh, the gut is so important, right?
Yeah.
It can be tested for, but then like, once you test it, like how do you treat it, right? But then there's also like things you can just to support gut health foundationally with diet, right? Mm-hmm. So in regards to gut supporting foods, like what are some of your favorites, you know, for foundational gut health and skin health? Because it's connected.
Gut supporting foods?
Yes.
30 plus different plant types a week.
Yes, girl.
That's a good place to start. A lot of research has been done with that, showing that when there was a study, but participants who had healthier microbial compositions pretty much ate at least 30 different plant types a week. And it's really not that hard to do. It sounds like it could be a little challenging, but it's not, because it includes not only fruits and vegetables, but it also includes nuts, seeds, spices, herbs, whole grains.
Yeah.
Right.
So. Yeah, I was actually seeing if I could do it. So this whole entire month, I've been posting it on like my social media, like trying to figure out like, hey, could I actually do 30 different plants? And like, herb, like these like spice blends have so many plants in them.
Yeah.
It makes it so easy.
Yeah, that's really nice. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it, I think, has to do with what would you say? Like the fiber composition, obviously the more veggies you're eating and the whole grains have a lot of fiber, which our gut bacteria love.
Yeah. So when I looked into the study, it basically said that when people ate 30 or more different plants, it increased the amount of bacteria responsible for fermentation processes. And we do know that fiber does play a role in like fermentation, you know, and fiber found in plants is so important for like the production of anti-inflammatory short chain fatty acids, which is so important for gut health, you know? And it's actually really interesting, guys, I'm nerding out right now. But what studies show is that when people have eczema, they have lower bacteria responsible for the production of short chain fatty acids. So it's like, how do we support gut bacteria? And we could do it through these 30 different plants, which is so cool. And it could be through fiber, but there's also antioxidants naturally found in plants as well, yes. You know?
Oh yeah.
Which is so cool.
And also the like, why are short chain fatty acids important? What exactly?
Yeah, so what short chain fatty acids basically do is that they can help out with healthy gut function by feeding gut cells, which is so cool. And aren't short chain fatty acids also linked to like leaky gut as well with zonulin?
And like a lack of short chain fatty acids? Yes, absolutely.
So like, if you guys don't know what leaky gut is, it's basically like when somebody experiences a lot of like gut symptoms, like gas, bloat, and changes to bowel movement. So like, probably like starting off with diet, it's going to be really great to look at, you know?
Yeah, it's going to have a big impact. And that just goes back to like our naturopathic roots, right? So we have the therapeutic order, and at the very bottom, it's shaped like a triangle. Think of it as a triangle. And at the very bottom, the base of the pyramid is what we call the foundations of health. And so when we are treating disease, and this also applies to skin diseases too, we're always going to look at those foundations of health, which includes lifestyle.
Perfect. So now that we've spoken about diet, there's also like foundational healthy lifestyle that can support skin health. There's going to be like stress, there's going to be exercise, there's going to be sleep, but also like smoking, which is really important to look at too, and sunscreen, right? So in regards to stress, we do know that when the body is experiencing either physical or emotional stress, it's just stress to the body. And that could therefore play a role in some hormone imbalances that could potentially affect skin health. And then when looking at exercise, this is actually really cool. Exercise has been shown to reduce age-associated changes in skin in human and animal models. Nice. Isn't that so cool?
Yeah.
So my friend, are you exercising this year?
Yeah, actually, I signed up with a personal trainer.
What?
Yeah, so I go 2 times a week with him. And then in between my sessions, I'm working out on my own because we have a really nice gym in our apartment complex.
I applaud you. I'm getting back into exercise because I took a break during the holidays.
Oh, you did you?
I did. I mean, I would walk 5 miles once a week when I'm at Universal Studios and that's it.
Oh my gosh, you're funny.
And then there's also sleep, which is so important. This is actually really interesting. How many hours of sleep do you get?
It hasn't been good lately.
I feel you.
And I know I need to be getting more, but I get so caught up at night, like all of a sudden my creativity levels go like, bing.
Yeah,
like
same.
They soar. And then I'm like, oh, but I should really be getting sleep and I could wake up early and do this. But I just wake up and I'm just like exhausted because I go to bed so late.
I feel you. So interestingly enough, science says that when people slept for 7 to 9 hours, it significantly lowered levels of skin aging. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So beauty sleep is real, guys.
It is real. And I remember you telling me about like skin circadian rhythm once.
Yeah.
And how like the skin like repairs itself at nighttime, right?
Mm-hmm. Nighttime's focus on repair and rejuvenation and daytime's focus on more protection.
So sleep. Go to sleep, y'all. And then it's kind of like figuring out like, okay, if somebody's experiencing sleep issues, what's causing that, right? And how do we support it? And that's where a naturopathic doctor can really help out. And then smoking.
Okay, listen, I live in my bubble still and I forget that people do smoke.
Yeah.
And it really does have an impact on our skin.
Yeah, so interestingly enough, what science says is that when people smoke, it degrades collagen. Like it literally degrades collagen by like increasing the activity of collagen eating enzymes. And like, I saw this one study and it said that like when people smoke, they had more like wrinkles around the mouth or around the lips.
Vertical lip lines, AKA smoker's lines.
Can you treat that with filler?
Yeah.
Ooh, well, guys, did you guys know that Dr. Marola does filler?
I do. If you want to talk,
Hit her up.
You know where to find me.
But it's also really interesting in this study. They also saw the effect of, in the study looked at the effect of tobacco and alcohol on the skin, but then also the combination of tobacco and alcohol. And what they saw was that alcohol led to like lower like facial volume, which is really interesting. I should share that study with you. It's really, really cool. And then there's sunscreen. We keep on talking about sunscreen. Sunscreen is so, so important. So basically, apply your sunscreen. My rule of thumb is using 2 to 3 finger lengths of sunscreen, okay, whatever you prefer, either mineral or chemical, whatever you could adhere to. You know, it's better to adhere to something than not use anything at all, in my opinion. After you apply your sunscreen, make sure you reapply regularly, especially when you're under the sun. So when you're under the sun, what the Skin Cancer Foundation recommends is to reapply every 2 hours when you're under the sun.
Yeah, you guys, we've reiterated this so many times with sunscreen, but it really is like, if you want to support healthy skin and slow signs of skin aging, sunscreen, diet, and exercise. Yes. Those are like the top things to start with, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. Don't go towards those like sexy supplements, right? Sometimes those sexy supplements don't work if your foundations aren't set, you know?
Exactly.
So guys, I know that diet lifestyle isn't like fun and cool, but we can make it fun and cool. Mm-hmm. Like,
I absolutely believe that.
Yeah. So let's do some fun exercise. We should do a challenge.
Oh, yes.
Right? Okay. 30 we'll plants more. Challenge. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. We should do that again. Yeah. You did one last year, right? Uh-huh. You hosted one.
Uh-huh. We should do it again.
Okay.
Probably for like spring. We'll see. We'll touch base.
Yeah.
Okay. So we talked about supplements, right? And I'm sure like y'all want to know what some supplements are, but in a perfect world, we'd always want to do a healthful diet, right? And healthful lifestyle strategies to support our health and wellness. But honestly, we're not perfect. Like I just said, I didn't work out during the holidays. All I was doing is going to Universal Studios and getting 5 miles once a week. And it's realistic to think that we're going to have gaps in our diet because of that, right? And therefore these like gaps are like really important to fill in with like essential nutrients to support foundational health and wellness and therefore skin health. And whenever patients see me, I usually recommend a few supplements to them actually. So the first thing is going to be a multivitamin. Do you usually recommend a multivitamin to your patients?
Multi's good, yeah.
We love a multi. So in regards to multis, what I specifically look for is going to be activated B vitamins with a healthful dose of vitamin D. Do you look for anything specific in your multivitamin?
No, there's just some brands I like.
I gotcha. And then magnesium is something I commonly recommend to my patients as well, just because like magnesium is so important for so many biochemical processes in the body. And it's also really great for sleep. You know, like yes. I use magnesium myself for my sleep, and it's also really great for gut health. So there are so many different types of magnesiums out there. One's good for sleep. One's good for relaxation. One's good for gut health. So it's really trying to work with a provider to figure out like, hey, should I be using this one, that one, or that one? You know, mm-hmm. Do you usually recommend magnesium to your patients?
Not. So I didn't, yeah. But I feel like moving forward, and I think like especially when I start doing naturopathic consults again, I mean, this is going to be like for sure one of my foundational ones just because of everything you just said.
Yeah. And there's also antioxidants. We spoke about mm-hmm. antioxidants earlier, but you can actually get antioxidants in supplements, but like get it through food. It's cheaper. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah. I don't know if I would that wouldn't be one of my foundational ones, although there are a couple antioxidant products that I really like.
I'm curious, but we could talk about that in my off episode. And then a lot of people are curious about probiotics. Do you tend to recommend probiotics to your patients?
I do, but it depends. Sometimes I'll do spore-based probiotics. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll do like just a broad spectrum probiotic.
Yeah.
And it just depends on their symptoms too.
I feel you. I usually don't go for a probiotic from the get-go with mm-hmm. my patients. And the reason why is because a lot of my patients who see me for acne, they tend to have like gut issues, right? And I'm just like wary about giving somebody a probiotic with gut issues just because it could possibly worsen their symptoms, you know, yeah. Especially if they have SIBO or small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And in my head, I'm just like, probiotics are expensive and I don't want to feel like crap if you do end up having SIBO. So let's like support your gut bacteria profile with some diet. And we actually spoke about that, like how those 30 plants are really helpful for like gut microbiome diversity and also like fiber, you know? Mm-hmm. And honestly, like what I said earlier, like diet and lifestyle is not sexy, but like it can support so many things in the body. So yeah, you shouldn't go for a probiotic. But for some individuals, they're just like, I want a probiotic. I'm like, okay, cool. Let's do a probiotic if you really want to do a probiotic.
Okay. I would also add just a vitamin D supplement. I wouldn't look for it in a multi. I would do like a separate one, at least 5,000 IUs, because we know that, especially according to what the literature says, a lot of us, even for here in San Diego, right? For people who live in sunny places, we're vitamin D deficient.
Because we're still inside.
Yeah. So I would do vitamin D supplement. I would add that to a foundational foundational nutrient.
Yeah. So we got a multivitamin, we got some vitamin D, magnesium, antioxidants, ? Probiotics. Dr. Merola loves it. I'm just like, maybe.
Fatty acids?
Oh, yes.
How would you feel about that? Because I feel like that could be a good foundational one.
Yeah. So in regards to fatty acids, I don't supplement that from the get-go. I usually just like recommend it dietarily to my patients, honestly. So like what I said earlier, my main patient population are people with acne. And when people have gut issues, I do want to figure out like, okay, do they have a food intolerance, right? So one of the things that I tend to recommend to my patients is an elimination diet to really understand like what food intolerances are playing a role in both gut health and skin health issues. And one of those things that I commonly recommend in the elimination diet is to take out seafood and shellfish.
Ooh, yeah. I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah,
that's
hard. Yeah. And interestingly enough, in some individuals, it actually triggers both gut symptoms and skin symptoms. And with some essential fatty acids, they are like seafood derived, you know? So I basically tell patients like, hey, if you want to get some fatty acids, try to get through like some seeds, you know, some other sources where you can get fatty acids. Yeah,
some plant-based sources.
Yes, ma'am.
Nice. I like that. Mm-hmm. I agree with you on recommending diet first for that and then supplementing. Also, because like a good quality fish oil or even like a plant-based one, it's kind of pricey.
Yeah, girl.
Because you guys know that not all fish oil supplements are good quality because that can go rancid sometimes, like with a lot of products. So you have to really know like good brands and where it's sourced from. It's all important.
Do you take a fish oil?
No, I'm a little weird.
Why do you say a little weird?
Because I eat fish. Uh-huh. I'm okay with that. But taking supplements that are derived from seafood or fish freak me out a little bit still. So I prefer all my supplements to be plant-based.
I feel you.
But I do vegan fish oil.
Like algae?
Yeah.
Actually, I do have a lot of patients who do take algae essential fatty acids. But yeah, also that's really expensive too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you know, it's all about working with what the patient has, what the patient wants, what their goals are. And I feel like that's the cool thing about naturopathic medicine, because we could really just like tailor treatment and still get like effective results depending upon the barriers that somebody has, which is really cool. So that's basically our episode, guys. Happy New Year. This is a really great time to refresh things, right? With diet, lifestyle, new year, new you. And we gave you some like evidence-based tidbits to really support your skin health from within. So this whole entire episode is really supporting skin health naturopathically and just really building a general skincare. So building a skincare routine naturopathically means both supporting your skin from the outside and supporting your skin from the inside. So quick recap on this episode, we basically spoke about some skincare products to support the skin barrier. So that's going to be these things that support skin hydration and just keep locking in that moisture or locking in that hydration, because skin barrier disruption has been linked to so many skin issues. And then we also spoke about these inner things that can happen that could affect skin health. So we spoke about diet and lifestyle and how carbohydrates, fatty acids, antioxidants, and so many of these other things can work to help your overall health and wellness, like your inner health, which then reflects as healthier skin, which is so cool. And then there's also going to be supplements as well. So we spoke about some supplements, but I want to let you know, guys, in this year, in 2023, we're going to be talking more about supplements, but in regards to acne. So we actually saw our best episode last year was acne. And a lot of you guys keep on telling us you want more acne info. So we are going to be diving deeper into acne this year. So we're going to be talking about supplements, but more on adult acne and hormonal acne this year. So make sure to subscribe. But that was our episode. Did you have fun today, Dr. Marola?
I like this one. This was a really good, this feels like a deep dive.
Does it?
We were talking about a lot of stuff. There's so much you can do.
There is so much you can do.
Skin health.
Exactly.
And naturally.
Yeah, I could see it being overwhelming as well for some individuals. And that's why it's really great to work with a naturopathic doctor, guys, especially with like these like things you can test that we spoke about, like with insulin, blood sugar, gut microbiome, or even like hormones. So if you do want to end up seeing us in office, we do see patients, guys. So make sure to connect with us on social media. We have our social media handles in the podcast description below. We also have our websites in the podcast description below. And for anybody out there who do experience these lip lines from smoking, Dr. Marola also does filler for you guys. So yeah, make sure,
let's have a chat.
Make sure to connect with her as well. But thank you so much, guys. And make sure to share this episode with your friends and family. We're out of here.
See you.